have thought out of the way. Just before we go to the part of the service where we're going to invite people to come to the front rows for prayer who need it, and we have a team of people ready, I hope, as well. And let me share something with you. It's a strange title, but would you be willing to give God permission? Not that God needs permission, but would you be willing to give God permission to change your life forever and your mindset and your perspective forever? That's my title, and it's Habakkuk 3, which will come up on the screen shortly. A couple of other wee questions just by way of introduction. Personal question, don't answer this out loud, it's just rhetorical. When was the last time you trembled or even had a full-blown panic attack? Do you know something? I think everyone once in their life can have an anxiety attack or a panic attack or a trembling. Maybe it's on a plane. Maybe it's a weather situation. Maybe it's a personal trial. Maybe it's a court case. Habakkuk says this about himself in verse 16 of chapter 3. I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the Lord in the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. So here's a prophet, a man of God, a man of faith, but he knew something made him tremble and shake. Are there people you know anxious, troubled, trembling, or in panic? Do you know communities that are in panic? Do you know nations that are in panic? Has God something to say to nations, communities, people, and individuals? I believe the message of Habakkuk is very, very relevant. Those, the righteous, will live by faith. Simple, childlike trust in the living God makes all the difference. Would you give God permission to change your mind, your perspective, and your life forever? Here's another question, more positive. When was the last time you were so filled and felt so good and so joyful, you sang and danced like no one was watching? Habakkuk, it's in the same chapter, chapter 3. Listen to this. It's like a mood change almost. It says like this, even if the fig tree doesn't blossom, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. That means leap up and down for joy. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet. Remember the legs were trembling? Here's a shift. It says, he makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. So the man who worried ended up worshiping. The man who had big questions ended up praising God. The man who was trembling because God was so great and circumstances were overwhelming ends up singing and dancing and praising God. Would you let God change your life, your perspective, and your mindset? Singing and joy is very significant. In Ephesians, it says, I want you to understand what the will of God is, to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, singing and making music in your heart to God, giving thanks in all circumstances, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Interesting, isn't it? The shift and the change that we see in these verses. Habakkuk, why were you trembling? And why were you so positive all at the same time? Interesting. Why was he trembling? Here's why he was trembling. In chapter 1, he's very, very burdened about the state of the country. There's evil everywhere. There's no justice. Look what's happening. He was very troubled by that. Why don't you do something, God? Very relevant to our time, space, world, isn't it? And then, so he was worried, he was burdened about the state of play, the state of things. And then he trembled all the more because he didn't like God's answer. And God said, I'm going to rise up a very evil power called the Chaldeans. who, this is a bit of hyperbole here, they make ISIS look like choir boys. And I'm going to use the Chaldeans to deal with what your issue. I don't like that, Lord. Surely you couldn't do that. Surely you're not that clever and big and large and mysterious that you would use all things to work together for good and to the glory of God on the earth. That blows my mind. I'm shaken up. I'm not sure I want to be around when this army comes. What about my children? What about my family? What about my community? I'm not so sure I can handle your answer, God. And God says, don't panic. I will judge the evil nation. I will take care of this in the end. And it's hard for Habakkuk to get his head around that. And yet, here's what God says. The righteous will live by his faith. You will be safe. You will be secure. You will be delivered if you walk by faith. Not by sight, but by faith. And we know from the New Testament this applies not only to this life and the circumstances, but to the age to come and the life to come. The righteous will live by faith. Simple, childlike trusting in God. When you have a close encounter with God, it changes everything. It changes your mindset, changes the way you look at things, changes your perspective. Corrie ten Boom, anyone ever heard of her? I think she was a Jewish believer, a Christian, at the time of the persecution of Jews, and I think she ended up, if I'm right, in one of those prison camps. She said this, a modern-day Habakkuk. Corrie ten Boom, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within you, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you'll be at rest. If you look at the world, you'll panic. You'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll discover I haven't got enough. I don't have what it takes. I'm perplexed about many things. I have many questions. But if you look to God, you will be at rest. Corrie, what do you know about stuff? Habakkuk, what do you know about stuff? Jesus, what do you know about suffering? The cross. Despised, rejected. The kindest person ever born, dying on the cross. Jesus knows a lot about questions and perplexities and what evil can do. But within those people's testimony, there's such hope. They end up, Jesus ends up rising from the dead and becoming king of the whole universe. Corrie ten Boom, I think she's with the Lord now. Going to get us some reward, as will indeed be the case with Habakkuk and with any man, woman, or child who will trust him no matter what is going on. So I want to consider a few matters that will help us bring perspective, help us follow Habakkuk's example, Corrie ten Boom's example. Let's be of those who live by faith and not fear, live by faith and trust and not depending on our own selves. I want to mention power and perspective. First of all, I want to tell you about the power of silence. Listen to this, Habakkuk 2, verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. How many of you know there's power in silence? Have you ever been at a football match? They have 1 minute silence because someone has died. There's a strange hush comes over the stadium. Thousands of people showing respect and honor. This afternoon at the Falls Park, they're going to have 6 minutes of silence. We care about the unborn. We care about what may happen in the next season. And we are silent 2 minutes for each country or nation that's going to be affected by that bill. I tell you, there'll be a sense of awe, there'll be a sense of perspective. Have you ever been at a funeral and you have a minute's silence for the person you're missing? Imagine the entire universe and the whole globe is silent before God. He's about to move. He's about to speak. In fact, he has spoken. Silence is powerful. Get perspective. In silence, every other voice and sound is silenced and shut up. And the only voice is what God says, what God thinks, God's perspective. Can you imagine all the voices being silent that are coming against us in life? The sound of the news, the sound of social media, the sound of opinions, demonic voices, lies, discouragements, negativity, all the things that cause our thinking to become other than God kind of thinking. Oh, I long for that. No, every voice would be quiet. Every paranoid voice, every delusional voice, every accusating voice. What's God going to say? And Habakkuk is trembling because it's the only voice that matters. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. He's going to carry out his purpose and his plan. But it's a positive, good plan for those who trust in the Lord. You have nothing to fear. When everything's changing, in God, nothing's changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, some of us are listening to the wrong voices. Some of us are listening to the wrong opinions. Some of us are being infected by stuff on social media. Let the whole earth be silent before him, the power of silence. And now we come to the power of a song, the power of music, the power of a prayer set to music. That's Habakkuk chapter 3. Amazing. I'll tell you a wee story. Several years ago, I have to be careful how I tell this story because this is on the internet and everything. So I'll change all the names and I'll even change the name of the area and everything, okay? I hope it doesn't slip out. But I remember getting called to see somebody in a place called Salisbury. It's a place in Belfast. And the story was this woman had a child that was totally out of control, 3-year-old child, fits and throwing itself against the wall, screaming fits. Now, this child was taking over the house, and she called the doctor. And she had an expectation when the doctor did the house call. And I did. How on earth do you deal with that? So I had with me at the time, some of you will know this doctor from Macedonia, Dr. Irena Vidosky. And I said, is it okay if I bring a Macedonian doctor with me? And I probably explained that she also prays for people. Is it okay if she prays into this situation? So I was able to get Dr. Irena to pray for this child, and I was trembling. What if nothing happens? So the next day, I phoned this person in Salisbury. I said, Greta, not her real name. How are things? She said, I was going to phone you. It was amazing. The child went to sleep. A calm came. And Dr. Renna was praying in Macedonian, and she was addressing a demon power that was attacking that child. And she didn't need, the mother didn't need to know that, but that's what she was doing. But here's what she said to me. I called the doctor, and all I got was a prayer. I expected some medication or something. All I got was a prayer, was what was going through my mind. But I have to say, the prayer was answered, and she was so pleased. She said she's starting to pray to Patrick Pio or somebody like that, so she needs a wee bit of foundational teaching and all the rest of it. But that was her way of saying, God did something for me. I want to do something back for God. She needed a bit of instruction. But actually, there's more power in prayer than you think. Never think, all I can do is pray. All I can do is sing a song. There's power in singing the right song. There's power in prayer. Sometimes the only thing you have to do is pray. Sometimes the only thing you can do is pray. Sometimes the best thing you can do is sing a song of faith and truth. And so Habakkuk chapter 3, it's a song, it's a psalm, it's a prayer. There is power in music. I was asking some people earlier their favorite type of music. That's a very personal question. Look, I'll give you my credit card number before I'll admit to liking opera, you know, or before I admit to liking rap music. But all power to their elbow. Every single one of them confessed the sort of music they liked. And I like all sorts of music. I love country music. I love light classical music. I love ballads. I love Celtic music. I love the Wesley hymns. I love the new songs. I'm greedy. I like all kinds of music. But I especially like music that's written according to the scriptures and the word of God. And that's what we have here. Music's powerful. Have you ever been at a sports event and they're singing a song? Wow, tingles up your spine. Have you ever been heard national anthems been sung? Do you remember the song for your first dance at your wedding? Powerful. There are certain songs bring a tear to a glass eye. Music is written into God's created order. It's all over the Bible. The biggest book in the Bible is a songbook. And we have a whole chapter here, chapter 3, which is a song. And I already quoted Ephesians, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the signs is what comes out of your mouth in terms of singing. So I just want to encourage you, start singing again. Sing in the car, sing in the shower. Sing when you're happy, sing when you're sad. Sing praise to God in all circumstances. God loves it, the devil hates it, and it's good for you. There's three good reasons to sing. And it takes faith to sing the right song. The world wants us to sing from its hymn book. Let's sing from God's hymn book. Let's sing the truth. And what we see in this hymn, so we see the power of silence, the power of a song, and then in the 3-7, we see the power of God. Don't have time to read it in detail, but it says things like, God came, his splendor covered the heavens, brightness was like the light, before him went pestilence, he stood and shook the nations. Wow. The first thing to sing, the first thing to know, the first thing to lay hold of, if you're going to be a person of the right perspective, have a big picture of what God is like. He's absolutely huge. He's absolutely wonderful. Creation tells you that. The Old Testament shows you that. Do you remember Mount Sinai? Thunder and lightning, mountains shaking. When you read how he dealt with situations and people, we have an even better song than Habakkuk, because our God became a man, was born in Bethlehem, lived a life, went around doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, died on the cross, was buried and rose from the dead. Habakkuk didn't have the benefit of the hindsight that we have. We have an even stronger song. And so this first part of the song is singing about God, honoring God in an objective sense. But then in verse 8, it changes. By the way, have you noticed that it says that this song was to be played according to Shigionoth with string instruments? I've studied this and researched it, and we don't quite know what Shigionoth actually means. But It's something along the line of, it was a type of musical style that emphasized with tremendous stirring and tremendous passion. You know what I mean? It was, you know, if you're going to sing God Came from Teman, you wouldn't be singing God Came from Teman. It's more, you know, God Came from Teman. If you like opera, it's, if you like classical music, if you like heavy metal, I'm serious. Put the right type of music to what God is saying here. And these first few verses, it's stirring, it's big, it's awesome, it's fantastic. And then it shifts gear. And what we see is the power of a person relating to God. Instead of saying, God, 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 he, it starts to say, you are my God. You are our God. And something shifts when this objective God becomes your God. When the objective facts become your facts. When Jesus becomes real and personal. When the God of the Old Testament, get to know him as your Father. And we see a shift taking place in the use of words in this song. And then we see, finally, in the last few verses, we see the power of personal testimony. The power of a personal experience of God. See, in the first few verses, God does this, God does that. God is great, God is majestic, God is powerful. The next number of verses is, Lord, why did you do that? And are you going to do that again? You. And then it becomes, I hear and my body trembles. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Isn't that an incredible shift that's taking place in this song? That the Habakkuk moves from singing about God to God, and then it's very, very personal and very real. I want to encourage you. This is where this book takes us. It takes us from questions, takes us from a very high view of God, and it takes us to a place where you and I can say, he is my strength. He is my source. He's my safe place. He's my savior. He's my friend. He's my sacrifice. He's the one I depend on. And God is pleased with that type of trust and faith. God loves that type of trust and faith. My last point. I've really kept well to the time. It's great. What I've said so far is there's power in silence, listening to the right voice. There's power in singing the right song. There's power in singing about God. There's power in making it personal. And there's power when a single individual says, I will trust God in my time, space, world, no matter what happens. I invite you, sing the song. Join the choir, metaphorically speaking. Sign up for this kingdom. 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now, the only thing that happens, the only thing that matters is that the righteous will live by their faith. So let us be among those. And the last point is, as I say with all these minor prophets, they were written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus, but the central person is Jesus. Where is he? I believe in the last verse, we see Jesus Christ. Who else is God the Lord except Jesus Christ? Who else is our salvation except Jesus Christ? Who else is the source of my strength except Jesus Christ? Who else treads on the high places? Is that a picture of a goat dancing on the mountain? Or is it a picture of somebody who rose from the dead and ascended above every hill, every power, every mountain, every nation, every problem, and was elevated to the highest place and is seated in the heavenly places? And does the scripture not say we are seated with him in heavenly places? Habakkuk, you got it right. You ended in a high place. You ended in a place of victory. Habakkuk, I hope you know what we know today, that ultimately that place is in Christ, in the highest place, far above all power and principality. And it says in Habakkuk 3, in wrath remember mercy. What was God's greatest demonstration of mercy? The cross. He has remembered mercy. He hasn't forgot. He has remembered mercy. And he's risen from the dead. What a God we serve. Somebody should write some music to that. Somebody should write a poem. We were talking about poetry earlier. You know, some things deserve the highest quality of literature and poetry and music and singing, because words are not enough to describe the glory and the wonder and the majesty of this incredible God. I can't think of anything else to say. So I finish there. Amen. So can we do like this? We've promised to be sensitive to people who are in need of healing of any kind. And just the logistics of this, in a moment or two, we have some minutes here before the children finish. The children will finish in about 10, 15 minutes' time. And 10, 15 minutes' time, people are free to pick up their kids and do all the stuff we need to do at the close of the service. But we have at least some minutes that we can just stay in God's presence. And I'll invite the worship team just to play quietly in the background, some soft worship. If you need prayer for healing, we have this row completely free. Could we free this row as well? And we have the elders here. So Tommy's here and Ken's here. And they'll be up at the front on this side. We also have a few people who've been really seeking God and praying for breakthroughs in healing for people. So Andre is going to come up, and Julie and Ken and Dot will come up on this side. And Alex, you come up as well. All right, just to drop you in it as well. But these are people, and Lillian, come forward on this side. And I want this team to do the praying. So if you need healed, a touch from God, anything at all, just come to the front rows. If there's not enough space on the two rows here, we can use this row as well. And we'll linger in God's presence, and we'll take the risk of praying for people this morning. Anything you need prayer for is acceptable. For some reason, especially if you suffer from panic attacks, especially if they're getting worse, anything, we'll pray for anything, but let's hit that one especially. If you need to make your relationship with God official, tell me and we'll pray for that. If you have an orthopedic condition, please be open for that prayed for. What is an orthopedic condition? A sore joint, a sore leg, something to do with your legs, hips, back, those kind of things. Especially if you're actually in pain as we speak. If I was to ask you, 0 to 10, 0 is no pain at all, 10 is excruciating pain, where is your pain level? And you would have to say honestly, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10, or whatever it is. If you're actually in pain, especially those people, rush up to these seats and expect God to be kind enough to touch you in some way, maybe beyond even what you're asking for, maybe in a different way. But let's give some respect to the Lord's presence, and we'll sing quietly in the background. as I say, just logistically, in about 10, 15 minutes' time, be free to pick up children and all that kind of thing. But let's just worship for a little bit and activate the prayer now. Thank you.